It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
Hey, how you doing, everybody? Super Bowl Sunday. That's what I think about the Super Bowl. I just can't get into the Rams, the Bengals. Even though I gave a prediction yesterday, I was forced to. Rams 37, Bengals 24. I believe that was the prediction at the end of last night's show. Super Bowl is in progress. I know, based on some of your feedback already, not everybody is into the Super Bowl tonight. Mighty Mighty, hanging out tonight for a little while. We got Le Dude, wants to see Cincinnati win. He is an Ohio boy. That's very, very cool. Lee is putting together his slow jam. Slow jam. Just think, since we were talking about WKRP with Dr. Johnny Fever dying a week or two ago, just if you ever watch that show, just think of Venus Flytrap late at night. And that's Lee. You know, not because they're both black, but it just reminds me of, you know, soft music, DJ, night, mellow, suave, without a doubt. Who else is with us tonight? Bob the Builder is not watching the Super Bowl. Super chat from Mr. Ciulo. So we will get into him in a few moments. How's everybody doing tonight? Hey, by the way, just for the hell of it tonight, I have Twitter connected, Facebook connected, Twitch connected. We're going to connect to a couple of other streams in the near future. So if you are on any of those platforms, you are more than welcome to post a comment. I should be able to see it. And if it's worthy, we could post it. Roger Rubio, watching the Super Bowl tonight. He is a 49er fan. Yes, yes. Didn't you just get the... I always think of Garofalo. I always think of that last name. Janine Garofalo. You got that signed jersey recently. So he is rooting against the Rams. Look, I could care less if the Rams win or the Bengals win. I think the big news coming out of the Super Bowl for us wrestling fans is The Rock cutting a promo that The Rock would do. Kind of gave me XFL vibes. Anybody remember when The Rock cut his promo with the XFL? That and WWE's commercial. Oh, God. I can imagine the fake triggering, the virtue signaling going on social media tonight because they use the word dynamite as an adjective. Unbelievable. Now you can't use words in the vocabulary. I can only imagine what's going to happen. That's why if you didn't tune into last night's show, I'm pretty much done with social media. I posted a couple of posts in the community section here today. That's where I'm staying. That's where I'm staying. I mean, don't get me wrong. I will post once in a blue moon, you know, on those places. But as far as socializing, I'll never be rude. I won't ignore anybody that sends me a question. But the days of me, you know, like opening up and expressing viewpoint, that shit is gone. It's dead. Twitter is, just let it rot, man. I don't care if you got 5,000, 10,000, 100,000 followers. I don't care if you have a blue check mark, not a blue check mark. That is a cesspool of shit. And honestly, all this virtue signaling and, you know, all this, you know, emotional Twitter shit just to get acknowledgement, I'm done with it. Totally, totally done with it. Yeah, so Fly, he is into Instagram. And I, for some reason, never got into Instagram. I mean, if you look at my Instagram account, and I do have one, I had a little flurry of about 2 weeks. I don't know if it's just some reason I could not get into the Instagram part of it. So, no, Mighty, your came up before. It came up before. I am going to answer it. Do not worry. I have three, a trifecta. Yeah, well, I'll give you my honest thoughts, because remember, tonight is the sit down. What that means is I have a blank piece of paper. You send in topics. It is not required to pay. You do not have to super chat to send in questions. We're going to hang out for about an hour. Not going to have it go really, really late, because I know a lot of you out there are checking out the Super Bowl and at the same time enjoying the show. And hey, for everybody that's going to tune into this episode after it streams live, much love. Shout out to all of you as well. So before I do anything, I promised you yesterday that I would put it together and show you. And here it is. This is first time, no one else has it. Go search social media, search wrestling sites, search YouTube. No one has this yet. Foco, the guy, I don't consider him a friend, but the guy I'm friendly with that now hooks me up, he sent me the Kane. He sent me the Undertaker, complete with urn. I know the color is kind of, you know, it's a little bright in here. But what's cool about these two is you put them together. And there you go. Brothers of Destruction. So that's how you do it. You basically, when you put it on display, there you go. That's how it looks. Brothers of Destruction. This is really sweet, man. It's heavy. It's made out of resin. This is no joke. But yeah, we put them together yesterday. And so freaking cool. I love the urn. Too bad Paul Bearer couldn't be part of this. I mean, I'm sure that there's ways we could kind of make a custom. But yeah, I just figured I'd let you see it. See, Undertaker, Kane. You put them together, and you got a special set. So I want to thank Foco again for sending that. They're going to send me more, and we're going to give them away. They're just not in production yet. So we got it a couple of months in advance. And don't forget, they have that 80s set coming out with like eight different mini bobbleheads, and they're sending me that too. Every time there's an advance release, you know, they're hooking me up, and I will hook you all up. So much love, man. Those are cool. I mean, I know you really can't see it in the back right now, but I have quite a few. I mean, you got Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior. I got to put some light. You know, maybe I could put the light from the phone. Let me see if I could put the light. I really have to do a better job. I really have to do a better job with the lighting, but you could probably see there's Warrior, there's Hogan. You got China, Eddie Guerrero. There's another Undertaker. So I have to just set them up a little bit better. What I have to do is I got to get a spotlight. It'd be nice if I turn the light off. Otherwise, the phone will be dead by the end of the show. I got to get a little spotlight. Put them like that, so this way they could be seen a little bit better. So, yeah, I got the Piper one. Yeah, Piper's right here. Here's Piper. So, yeah. I mean, right now I have, I guess you would call it 1990 Undertaker. Undertaker, Steve Austin, Bret Hart, Randy Savage, Eddie Guerrero, China, Ultimate Warrior, Hulk Hogan, Roddy Piper. Now you have Brothers of Destruction and The Fiend. The Fiend is pretty cool too. So how's everybody doing tonight? Like I said, we'll hang out for like an hour. No reason to really blow this up, especially with Super Bowl Sunday. Tomorrow night I'll be up here with Mish. We are going to do predictions for Elimination Chamber. A lot of stuff going down there. I appreciate everybody's feedback regarding my rant yesterday about the historic value that so many people are not acknowledging simply because, see, the problem that you see online is that it's almost as if you are uncool if you like both companies. That you have to be a hardcore AEW fan and FWWE or criticize them as much as possible. And that's how you fit in with the cool crowd, the conversational crowd. If you praise both, you are criticized. You defend WWE, you are banished, blocked. written off. And, you know, it's sad, but that's just the facts. And because of the historical value with not only the women performing, but Sonya Deville, you know, performing in Saudi Arabia, and people are intentionally ignoring that fact because they don't want to give even an ounce of credit to WWE. You watch when you see the videos of women crying, brought to tears on their knees, the WWE women crying, and understanding how powerful that is. You see, this is the thing. I'm not this gigantic, huge WWE defender. I'm a fan of all wrestling. But, you know, the one thing you got to understand is, yes, WWE, you might feel that they're evil, too corporate, this, this, and that. They don't care about the fans. The creative sucks, this, and that. But the one thing that this accomplishes, hope. Hope for women in that country. Hope. Hope. And it's a big deal. It's a big deal. I mean, it's not a requirement that you have to, like, make a big deal about it. But the people that claim that they are fair on both sides, you know, it's just, it's another example of just the absolute, it's a cesspool. It's an absolute cesspool. So Dream 101 is saying, help you, he is being stalked. I don't know how I can help you there. I mean, if you are being stalked online by someone, probably the best thing for you to do is just block the person. If they are trying to contact you in real life, you know, look, I told this story once before. You could figure out who this person is. Anybody that goes back to the very early days in a Minority Report will remember this story. It's disturbing. It's weird. And the worst thing about it is I still have a little of the collectible stuff that the guy sent me. Back in like 2006, 7, around that time period, there was an independent wrestler. He was in Jersey. He also was in the Midwest for a little while. And he was very, very heavy. I'd say about 400 to 500 pounds. Very, very heavy. He has passed on, you know, so I don't want to mention his name and, you know, kick him while he's down. But people remember this in real time. He was a big fan of the shows. And he sent me a bunch of wrestling memorabilia, collectibles, sent me a little bit of his work, sent me some, you know, rare stuff from WCW at the time and everything. And long story short, you know, he's like, hey, you know, if you ever want to give me a call, talk, you know. And I try, look, I'm not trying to be antisocial, but I get that a lot. You know, let's have a talk. Give me a call at my house. Let's have this private combo. Let's do this, do this. And, you know, it seems like more times than not, when that gets to that level where phone numbers are exchanged, it gets to an odd, uncomfortable level. What happened was this guy started calling me up 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, would call me 5, 10 times a day. I would come home from work, look at my caller ID, and there'd be about a dozen like missed calls with this guy's number. And it ended up, he was married, but he was bi. And he had this little fantasy and attraction. And I said to him very, very nice. I'm like, look, man, I don't eat my M&Ms with peanuts. I said, you know, you go that route. I totally respect it. Nothing wrong with that. But no, I'm not interested in that. And it got to an obsession. And I literally told him, I said, look, man, don't make me call the cops. Don't make me file a report. And he finally got the message and stopped calling. But it got to an epic weirdness level. And like I said, anybody remembers those old Minority Report days, you know, you'd have Joey 924 once in a while throwing up the guy's name. And he's like, hey, did so-and-so call you today? Hey, how's that going? And, you know, you have all these shits and giggles on the show. But, you know, look, you go back 15 years, you do a Google search, independent wrestlers that were over 400 pounds, 500 pounds, you could figure it out. You could easily figure it out. And he passed on. So I just don't want to mention his name. Point I'm getting at is that, you know, unfortunately, you may have to dream. You may have to go to that level of threatening a report, calling the cops, filing an online report. And, you know, some people may think you're bluffing. Everybody's different. There is no one-stop shop answer to stalking. But I have learned best thing to do is, you know, stay away from the people. You know, you just distance yourself as quickly as possible. Oh, Chris, there's a lot of weird stories like that, man. I look at myself and I'm like, who the hell would want to have sex with me? Valentine's Day. Did you see in the community section? I'll answer more questions in a second. Did you see in the community section earlier? I posted a little bit of an epic fail today. I took my fiance out for a nice dinner for Valentine's Day. And this is my fiance, you know, sitting there with her drink, you know, looking beautiful as ever. And she's like, let me take a picture of you. So I give her the camera and she takes a picture of me. Now, can you figure out where I totally fucked up on this one? I had people from, hey, you didn't shave your mustache, to you didn't put alcohol in that drink. And I almost posted that picture earlier on my Facebook page for my friends and relatives. And I looked at the picture. Can you figure out what's wrong with that picture? Anybody figure it out? There's a plate of fat fingers. Yeah, I ordered a plate of fat fingers. After I took the picture, I looked at it back and I said, why is my hand on the plate? So I had to take the picture again. So there's the better picture. There's a better picture. But yeah, I didn't even realize that. She's like, you're going to eat out of that plate now. I'm like, what do you think I did? Pissed and didn't wash my hands? My hands are clean. But yeah, I had a hand on the plate. Yeah, so when you go out to dinner, even if it's a nice pose, even if, especially if it's a first date, do not be caught making the mistake I did and put the hand on the plate. You know, that was just, yeah, that was not good. So, yeah. All right. All right. A couple of shout outs, and then I will just glue my eyes to the chat room for the next half hour, 45 minutes, whatever you want to ask away. Before we do that, Ronnie saw me on Lamont's live stream earlier. Oh, awesome. He's a cool dude. He absolutely is. And thank you for letting us know about LAL, Lamont at Large. Yeah, for those that don't know, you know, there's a couple of YouTube channels that I follow. And one guy, his name is Lamont. And what he does is, I'm more into crime dramas now. And what he does more than anything is he'll go to cemeteries. I know it might sound creepy and everything, but he goes to cemeteries and he tells stories of tragedies, good things, you know, stories you may have never heard of before, pop culture stuff, you know, things from 200 years ago. And he tells the story behind the person and then he shows their grave afterwards. It's actually pretty cool. But he also goes to like crime scene locations and really, really good guy. I like his work. I definitely am a big fan of his work. So if you've never checked it out, you might want to check it out. It's actually pretty cool. So once again, shout out to Roger Rubio. Rooting against the Rams. By the way, what's the score? Is it still 13-10 Rams? I'm curious because my prediction yesterday was 37-24 Rams. And that is just a quick guess. Like I said, no disrespect for anybody rooting for either team. I could care less. If the Giants are not in it, then I honestly could care less. Mighty, mighty, much love to you, my friend. What are my thoughts on Matt Cardona's NWA win? Okay. I'll take both sides on this. It's halftime. Oh, it's still 13-10. Okay. So I might have overblown that score, but hey, anything could happen in the second half. My apologies to everybody who could not check out the live stream because you wanted to see Moesha, Brandy, whoever's, you know, in the halftime. I'm just joking. I mean, the stars that they announced, obviously are good ones. I mean, that is a nice little fund mini concert to attend. Hey, I will not criticize any of those performers, because even me, 15 years ago, I used to go, you know, to little mini concerts to see like freestyle performers from the 80s, you know, Susie Q and, oh, I can't remember the other ones. Oh my God, Exposé. And you think of La Bouche and Lamont just actually covered the girl that was the original singer from there. She died in 2002, I think, of a plane crash. But that group, La Bouche, Be My Lover, Won't You Be My Lover? Yo, Sweet Dreams. What's that, Night of the Roxy? Didn't Night of the Roxy make one of those songs famous? But, you know, I used to go to see a lot of those groups back in the day. What was the one? Oh, my God. The Latin Rascals I liked. Latin Rascal, TKA. Fuck you, TKA. I hated TKA. I remember we went to the Long Island Exchange. I think it was the Long Island Exchange, and TKA was performing. Franz Jolie, loved Franz Jolie. Loved her music. Loved seeing her perform in person. And right now, I guarantee you there's a lot of young people out there that are laughing their ass off like, DT, your taste in music sucks. It does. That's why I can't criticize any of y'all. So, Matt Cardona. I'm going to answer it in complete honesty, like I always do. Number one, I give Matt Cardona the continued credit. I've been giving him a lot of credit in the last year. The guy took a chicken shit situation, being released from WWE, turned it into chicken salad. That guy has reinvented himself. He is polarizing. He knows how to push people's buttons. And the guy works his ass off in the ring. He sees the situation at hand, and he knows exactly what to do with it. That guy is doing a fabulous job. Fabulous job. He earns all the accolades and the attention he's getting right now. I cannot criticize Matt Cardona one bit. On the NWA side, NWA to me, it feels like they are trying to get, it almost feels like the GCW buzz. You know, when Cardona beat Nick Gage, that's what it felt like with him beating Trevor Murdoch. I mean, I like Trevor Murdoch, but I even said, Chris Silver, what's going on? Hey, no audio. Supposed to make audio sound bites now. We're going to have little sound bites when people subscribe, when we become members. You know, I'm starting to toy with taking things to another level. But no, Chris, I'm not watching the Super Bowl. I may see highlights later on, but, you know, I'm really not interested, to be honest with you. Neither team that are playing, you know, I'm a big fan for. Look, I'm happy for anybody rooting for the Rams, and I'm happy for anybody rooting for the Bengals, and I'm happy for anybody that is just enjoying the shit out of the Super Bowl. I will not criticize it. It's just the two teams I'm involved just don't entice me, you know. So, Lee is asking, chasing clout, NWA, maybe, you know, I said this more than one occasion, you know, I have nothing against Trevor Murdoch, and I know they tried to paint him like a Harley Race type, and look, for good reason. I mean, obviously he has some history there, and he represented the title well, but having Trevor Murdoch as their champion really was not gaining much. You know, it's like a polite respect. Oh, you know, props to Trevor Murdoch, NWA Heavyweight Champion. Props. That's cool. You going to watch it? Ah, no. That's pretty much what Trevor Murdoch's reign has been. Like, people will respect it, give props to it, but it didn't get any big eyes on it. This felt almost like the GCW effect. You know, let's shock the world and have Matt Cardona pull another one out. And since Matt Cardona is most hated in a lot of promotions, that we may see people to tune in just to see somebody kick Matt Cardona's ass. That's my interpretation of it, to be honest with you. That's how I feel about him and NWA, in my opinion. I like NWA. I mean, it's just, you know, once in a while, I get a feel from everyone who tunes in live, you know, how many of you really follow NWA. And I'm not talking about reading a tweet. I'm talking about watching a product. And it might be one out of every 100 or 200. And when you have that few people tuning in, it's very difficult to cover something like that on a show. And I'm not going to cover it on the show just for topics. You know, the shows don't have to be 90 minutes or 2 hours, because you have to, I'm not going to put topics on there just to fill time. You know, if it's something that majority of you are interested in, yeah, we'll talk about it. Happy 13-month anniversary to Jeff Collins. Much love. Much love. Heel 916, what's going on with you? John Vickers is hanging out tonight. Josip Pijaka? Josip Pijaka. Did I say that right? Was Zack Ryder buried by Cena? You know, it's so hard to say. I mean, he was so lower on that level. And Cena, if anything, it felt like they were trying to elevate Zack Ryder. I don't think it was done to bury Zack Ryder. You know, it's just, it wasn't my perception. I mean, it might be your perception, and I totally respect that. Yeah, it's been that many years, too. That many years. Sergio Morales, what do I think of testosterone replacement therapy? Well, okay. Best way I can answer that, because I will answer anything, I took Androgel about, I'd say, 15 years ago. Only because it's not that my testosterone level was very low, but I felt very tired, very sluggish, just really off. I felt like I was turning into a cat that I had to nap numerous times a day. I wasn't extremely heavy or anything like that, but something didn't seem right. My blood work seemed fine. My testosterone level had gone down a little bit, but not on the level that, you know, that it would have been a concern. And someone had said to me, oh, you should try Androgel. You know, that'll just perk you up and this and that. Now, you know, I know people do it for sexual reasons as well, but, you know, the only thing I'm banging is an empty toilet paper roll. Androgel is going to do nothing for me, you know? So I got it. And if I remember correctly, you rub a little on your belly, you rub a little on your arm. And man, I got to honestly say, I remember the first day putting it on, and like an hour or two later, I was like, I just was so alert and so energized. Like I wanted to build a bridge. I wanted to build a house. I had so much energy. And then people started telling me, you better worry. You got, you know, your family's got prostate issues. Look now. I got to go for surgery this year because I'm right on the borderline of prostate cancer. I don't think it had anything to do with that. So I only took Androgel for a couple of months. But be very careful about that. Be very careful about that. Let's see. Roger's asking me, favorite snack for a big event. Here's the truth. For the last couple of days, I've gone off keto a little bit. And I may go off keto for a couple of months. It's not necessarily that I miss eating regular good food. I do miss bread. I do miss pasta. I miss pizza. We had it New Year's Eve, and it was a nightmare because the problem was New Year's Eve, I decided to have an orgy with carbohydrates. And I didn't go to sleep till 6 o'clock in the morning. And it was not because of the energy from New Year's Eve. I couldn't sleep. My sugar level was all messed up that day. My head was itchy. My skin turned all red and flaky. because my body was just went from no carbs for 2.5 years, 3 years to, you know, I ate what, 6 slices of pizza that day. So the last couple of days, I didn't go nuts, but, you know, a lot of, you know, I had sweet potato fries yesterday. You know, everything else was okay. Today, I had a little bit of pistachio ice cream. I had some potatoes with my fish. So, you know, I'm going off a little bit. But for me, as far as a snack for a big event, probably pizza. And yes, I look at that as a snack. Potato chips, I haven't had potato chips in 3 years. Regular, straight up potato chips. I'm not interested in going back to that. But, you know, you best damn believe sometime this week, I think I'm going to be downing some tortellini Alfredo. Absolutely. So, frozen fruit with ice cream. I used to love froze fruits. Froze fruits, the coconut, froze fruit. Oh, my God. I can't tell you how many times back in the day, ice cream truck comes along. Hey, give me a coconut froze fruit. And what you always did with the coconut froze fruit is you didn't bite it. You always just licked it. You know, kind of like sissy-ish. You lick it because then it licks away all the milk and then you're left with chunks of coconut, like strands of coconut. And that was the way to eat a coconut froze fruit. Yeah, Cheetos. I am a Cheetos fanatic. I have Hilo Puffs, H-I-L-O. They're keto puffs, I think 3 carbs per bag, and I'll eat 2 bags at a time. They're not that bad. I mean, they're not regular, but the thing is, remember, I have a wedding in September, and I do want to drop about 20 pounds between now and the wedding. And going off keto, you know, I'm good to gain a couple of pounds just for the water retention. I got to be careful because if I start blowing up, then I'm going right back on it. So salt and vinegar chips are awesome, man. They are freaking awesome. I didn't like salt and vinegar chips when I was young, but I think Lay's came out with one many, many years when it first came out, and I ate it, and I felt like I was Dana Brooke eating the salt and vinegar. After you eat like a handful, you're like it just everything shrivels up, but it's addictive. That vinegar, you're eating it, and just slowly your mouth. See, I don't joke about Dana Brooke's plastic surgery anymore because that's a little bit superficial. That's old, long time ago, asshole DT. You know, I'm no perfect person over here, so, you know. But that's how I feel with the salt and vinegar. I mean, that's exactly it. It's just something about it. You can't stop. Well, yeah, going drinking water. Let me tell you something. You know, last night I drank 3 of these overnight. And, you know, that's fine and everything until you pee like 6-7 times overnight. That's one thing when I go off this, I get so thirsty, insanely thirsty. Shout out to Chris. Yeah, I spit facts, but in a very odd way sometimes. Very odd way. What do we have for Valentine's Day dinner? I had branzino, oreganata. Branzino, now let me make this clear for everyone out there. If anybody that doesn't like to eat fish, not that fish, but like regular fish, I'm not a big fish eater. I'll eat a shrimp or two. I'll eat some flounder. You know, I prefer it fried with, you know, beer batter and stuff, but I'm not a fish eater. I will never go try calamari and stuff like that. Baked clams to me is like biting into fish-flavored rubber. But unless it's like the stuffed clams you get in the diner, that's just nothing but breadcrumb. But bronzini, however you prefer to say it, is a fish that has no bones, and it's not a fishy fish, if that makes sense. If you ever had no choice but to order fish and you're not a fish eater, get branzini. It has no fishy taste to it. You will be shocked on how good it is. So whenever I go out, if I want to eat, you know, something with fish, maybe like cut down on one thing, maybe so I can have something else. I get that. So branzini. I'll eat tuna fish, but even tuna fish, I get phases. I had a phase where I couldn't go near tuna fish for about 2 or 3 years, and then suddenly I was making a can a week. So tuna fish, I'm not a big fan of either. All right, we have a scoring update. The Bengals are leading 17-10. Very interesting. I take lots of multivitamins. I take vitamin D, vitamin A. I take magnesium at night. What else? I take turmeric. Turmeric helps with inflammation. Take your regular multivitamin. Take omega once in a while. You know, like I'll just take a whole handful. The funny thing is I could take like 10 at a time and it doesn't mess me up. The only thing I cannot do is take a multivitamin on an empty stomach in the morning. Easiest way to get me to vomit. Seriously, if I ever had an interview with Vince McMahon and it was 9 o'clock in the morning, I didn't have breakfast yet. And while I'm in Vince's office, I don't really have any props. Let's pretend this is a garbage can. And Vince, he puts it on the desk. He's going to puke. He's going to puke. I'd be, excuse me for a minute. I'd take a vitamin just with water, no food or nothing, and that is the easiest way. He's going to puke. I'll throw up every time. If I take a multivitamin in the morning with no food, I start gagging all the time. And let me tell you something, the worst thing you want to do is gag having a vitamin with no food, because those vitamins is usually like, because of the vitamin colors, it's like yellowish or reddish and stuff like that. You start gagging, and you look at your mouth and you see like yellow, you know, and you can't like wipe it off. You don't have napkins. What are you going to do? Put it on your hands and then your hands all messed up. So, 17-13. Okay. So who's winning? Is it now Rams? Now it's 20-13. Who's winning right now? 20-13. Who's winning? There's like Bengals are winning 20-13. My prediction was 37-24 Rams. So look, like I said, you know, I know that there's people on both sides rooting for the teams. I appreciated The Rock's appearance earlier. I thought that was pretty cool. He nailed it. But like I said at the beginning of the show, I can't wait to see the reaction of that radical AEW left, because WWE used the term dynamite as an adjective. Thoughts on WWE doing pay-per-views on Saturdays now? I love it. One thing that I really, and you're going to start seeing it immediately, is, you know, I have to get better sleep. It's affecting me in a lot of ways, and doing shows pretty much every day now, I'm really going out of my way to finish the shows quicker. So this way, it gives everybody a better chance of tuning into almost all the content. But there's no reason for me to do 14 hours of content a week. If I did 5 to 7, that should be more than enough. So one of the worst feelings is Monday morning, Tuesday morning for me. And Tuesday morning, because my fiance stays here overnight on Monday. And Monday, when we used to do 2.5 hour shows, by the time I put it online, by the time I go to sleep, it's probably around 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. I have to get up literally 2.5 hours, drive her home, come back here, get ready, go to my office. And it's too much. So when you have that every Monday night, Tuesday morning, and then you have a pay-per-view Sunday night as well, and those pay-per-views end at the earliest 11:30 at night, you know, it's rough. But to do a pay-per-view on Saturday, where you could sleep late on this, even if you don't do shows, the fact that you could, you're up late Saturday nights more often than not, that you could sleep a little bit late the next day, and you know for most of you out there, you don't have to go to work. I love the idea of pay-per-views on Saturdays. Next Saturday is going to be a little bit strange because the pay-per-view is going to end around 3:30, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, New York time. But Saturdays, I like it. I like it a lot. Hell, I mean, a lot of you were not around when we had pay-per-views on Thursdays. We had, what, Cyber Tuesday? Didn't we have a pay-per-view on Tuesday? What about TNA? Wasn't it every Wednesday they had a pay-per-view? I mean, I even think we had pay-per-views on Mondays. I don't know. Did we have pay-per-views in the 80s on a Monday? I don't think we have many. But, you know, you imagine tuning into a pay-per-view on a Tuesday or a Thursday, especially if you had to go to school the next day. Oof, Taboo Tuesday. Yeah, Taboo Tuesday. So I love the Saturday idea. I am not a fan of going back to during the week, Monday through Friday. I mean, Friday afternoon is not that bad, you know, because you have the weekend coming up. But and obviously they would do that because of Saudi Arabia. But yeah, I probably will ultimately put some more New Jack content up there. I have some more stuff. You know, it's right now, you know, pulled back on the retro stuff a little bit because, to be honest with you, you know, like, I really try to give a little bit for everybody out there. But I had, and I'm not going to lie, I had people that were like, oh, when are you going to put retro DTKC episodes back up? And I had people like, oh, you got to put this up. You got to put this up. And then you get a whole bunch of people. Yeah. You put it up and then you realize that 1% of your total audience bought it to download it. And it's like, man, I sat through hours and editing and trimming and boosting audio and, you know, trying to, you know, condense stuff, taking calls that really, you know, that are just not even interesting to hear 2022, and then put that stuff online and to see almost no attention to it. I'm like, I'm not going to kill myself, you know, for that. So, you know, as far as that other retro audio, even like the Lenny stuff, you know, the Lenny stuff was priceless because I experienced it in real time when it happened. But honestly, you know, you look at it at the end of the day, the interest in hearing Captain Lenny and his weirdness is probably a couple of dozen people at most, you know. So it's, you guy try to, you know, really, you know, be aware as far as, you know, what people want to tune into. Again, that's why you don't hear much about some of the other promotions out there, because unfortunately it's a shame when you have a lot of people like, oh, WWE sucks. There should be more alternatives. And then you run through 10 different promotions and they don't tune into any of them. And you realize that 95% of everybody who tunes in only watches WWE or AEW. It's like, okay, soon as I start talking about GCW or somebody else, you know, and you see 95% of everybody just turn it off. It's like, okay, yeah, that's probably not a topic I should be revisiting all that much. So, looking back, what do I think of the Aces and Eights faction? It wasn't all bad, but it was just, it was a storyline I don't think that was thought out all that well. I think some of the members, regular fans, were not really, they didn't care. Or some of the members, I don't think wrestling fans cared for them in that faction. When they made Bully Ray the leader, look, I love being swerved as a wrestling fan. I mean, I miss the shocking heel turn or babyface turn, not one that seeds are planted for a long time. You know, I mean, today is the five-year anniversary of the breakup with Chris Jericho and Kevin Owens, the Festival of Friendship. And if you remember covering that, you know, we heard some rumors that they may split them up, but 99% of the net was against it. And it felt like the WWE had changed their mind and they were going to keep them together. And then when Jericho pulled out the list of Jericho and he's like, why is my name on the list? And then he lifts it up and it says the list of KO. You know, people like, oh, shit. Like, I miss being swerved big time. But the Bully Ray explanation, and I'll never forget it because they needed to do like four or five. I don't think six. Six might be extreme, but they did, had to do multiple segments on that episode to explain why he was the leader. And you go back and you watch that whole storyline, him with Brooke Hogan, maybe they were going to be married, and a bunch of other stuff, and the way he was getting beat down and everything else. And then we're supposed to, in storyline, oh, no, 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 he was the leader all along. He just took those beatings for what? You know, it was just, it was so stupid. And honestly, it didn't pop ratings. I had someone draw me that Aces and 0.8 shirt. I put it on sale, and within 24 hours, I was threatened lawsuit. So that's why we didn't have Aces and 0.8 shirts on sale all that long. But their ratings were around 0.8. So I'm the one that originally came up with Aces and 0.8s. And I still have the designs. I mean, maybe we could put them up now as like a retro fun moment. But it was a nice idea, but the execution on TNA's part was very, very sloppy and disappointing. It just felt like it wasn't thought out all that great. It felt like they had it thought out, but it felt like Aces and Eights, that they perceived this direction. This is where we're going to go with this. And Bully Ray is going to be the leader to feud with the Aces and Eights. And then they realized that, my God, most people aren't giving a shit about this faction. We need a big name to be the representation. Oh, so let's put Bully Ray in there. Like, the original concept, I think, was very well thought out. I think they misfired when they realized that, wow, the fans are not liking this as much as we thought. So they had to change direction. And I have no problem with Bully Ray now. I mean, I understand, you know, why a lot of things happened the way they did. I know some of his opinions right now piss off a lot of people. I disagree with a lot of his opinions. I give him credit for having the balls to express them. You know, that's how I look at it. My favorite wrestling faction of all time, probably the Four Horsemen. Four Horsemen, love the Triple Threat, love the Fabulous Freebirds. But the Four Horsemen, without a doubt, loved Arn and Tully as a tag team. Way before they became the Brainbusters in the WWF. Tully and Arn were freaking awesome. The Four Horsemen just showed you that you can have, you know, like somebody be heavyweight champion and represent the company and they don't have to break away from a faction. That's what I always loved about it. And that's why I always felt that if Big E was going to go on his own as a heavyweight champion, sure, with the roster split, it makes it difficult, but there was no reason why you have to split up factions because one person is going to go on his own. Philip Matthew, what's going on? Philip, he is the comment, the anniversary of Chris Jericho, and Kevin Owens makes him want Chris Jericho to go back to WWE. Look, this is not news. This is not news. Even though I did find it funny, yesterday we talked about Sami Zayn and Johnny Knoxville. Did you see all the so-called news reports today that the plan is Sami Zayn versus Johnny Knoxville, WrestleMania 38? listen, everybody, there was nobody on these wrestling news sites that had people at 11 o'clock last night or 1 o'clock a.m. or 8 o'clock this morning that suddenly contacted them and said, Sammy in Knoxville at WrestleMania. No, they saw the segment on SmackDown. And then some people started thinking, oh my God, they're still keeping Knoxville's name around. Sammy just won the title. You think? And then yesterday I told you that there's a buzz going around behind the scenes that that match is happening. It's just like what we were joking about yesterday too, that WWE is not looking to sign independent wrestlers to NXT. That's nonsense. You know where that came from? A Kyle O'Reilly interview that came out where Kyle O'Reilly said pretty much that WWE is not looking for indie wrestlers. And I don't want to misquote Kyle O'Reilly. I don't have his statement in front of me. But, you know, they're looking more for characters. They're looking more for gimmicks. They're looking more for personalities. But they're not looking for an independent wrestler that could put on a five-star match but is bland as water, or vanilla midget, as they used to say, in WCW. So there's a big difference of what Kyle O'Reilly said and what everybody else interpreted it. So you had, with all due respect to Meltzer and a few others, reporting in newsletters that, WWE is not looking for indie wrestlers, and the next signing at WrestleMania, if they sign anybody, it's going to be only enough people on one hand. Well, every time WWE signs a bunch of people, it's usually on the average five. That's not anything news. Yet, they just offered a contract for Roxy. She's an independent wrestler. No, that's the exception. Yeah, until the next person they offer a contract that is an independent wrestler. That has a little bit of a personality behind them. But. And then what'll happen is after four or five people, they'll sign a football player. See, I told you. They just see it and they're like, oh, wait a minute. See Becky Lynch? Becky Lynch tweeted Asuka today. Hey, Asuka, I wouldn't mind if you were the sixth person in the Elimination Chamber in Saudi Arabia. What do you see news reports do today? That WWE is strongly considering putting Asuka in the Elimination Chamber. Now, it could very well happen. But again, these are people that don't have sources. They're just looking at what they're watching and what people are tweeting and what people are saying, and they're interpreting it. And instead of just giving the news of Becky wants Asuka in the chamber, no, they got to say, our sources tell us that WWE wants Asuka in the Elimination Chamber. That's how the sausage is made. Trust me, if I wanted to make that sausage, oh my God, I'd be clickbaiting over and over again. The only reason why I have Sami Zayn and Johnny Knoxville in the title for today is because we talked about it yesterday before anybody else picked up on it. And it's a they're seriously considering it. But the people that wrote about it today, that's because they watched SmackDown. If that was the case, you know, they would have reported it on Saturday, last week, the week before that. It's just suddenly everybody's watching the SmackDown and saying, the SmackDown. And now I sound like Bret Hart. Yeah, Roxy, WWE offered her a contract. She's great. She's very young as well. You know, speaking of, that's not good. I know you can't see it. Oh, yes, you can. See the blood on the tips of my fingers? You see the difference? I had an itch on my leg. Let me see if I could show you. You really can't see it, but I don't know if you can. I had an itch, and I was like going like this, and my hand felt a little weird. I looked down, and I got blood all over my hands. That's not good. Yeah, see? Your weird cuts. She better not be like scratching the shit out of me while I'm sleeping. A few of you earlier asked me on my thoughts of AEW signing, I think his name is Nikki. Oh my God. His father is the trainer of a wrestling promotion. What's his name again? I was thinking about it earlier for a while. Somebody in the chat room remind me, what's Nikki's last name? You know, the reason why I can't remember the last name is because Brian Alvarez, when he wrote like a comment earlier, he just mentioned Nikki, like it's a personal brother's name. I don't care if he's your cousin. You know, you put the Nick Wayne. Thank you very much. They signed Nikki. This isn't like Goodfellas where they, you know, they whacked so-and-so. You know, they signed Nikki. Nikki who? Nikki Wayne. Nick Wayne. Buddy Wayne's son. Okay. My honest take on this, as the blood seems to be getting worse, that's okay. I know I'm not making it up. He's 16 years old. My honest opinion on it is he's going to be a future star in wrestling. AEW signing him now, I'm a little confused by it, and I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Because at minimum, they would have to wait at least a year and a half to 2 years before they could put him on shows. I don't know putting a 17-year-old or a 16-year-old on shows would be a smart thing to do right now, regardless of how talented someone is. Why do I think he's going to be a star? I'll be honest with you. Before today, I didn't watch a Nikki Wayne match. Did not. Why would I want to watch any 16-year-old wrestle, male or female? You normally don't expect to see somebody that young wrestling on a show. If anything, they would be wrestling in a school. So, you know, he was never on my radar. Once I saw this and I saw thousands of people liking it, I'm like, this guy's got more likes than he's got followers. I said, let me go see what it's about. And his father is teaching him right, man. I almost want to say this could be the brother of Hook. They don't look alike, but it could be a similar situation with Hook, that this is somebody that, you know, is obviously a couple of years behind Hook, but could definitely make a name for himself as the years go by. He fits that look, you know, similar to Hook. I'm not trying to rhyme right now, but he is definitely talented. Is he talented where you would want to lock him up at 16 years old? I don't know about that, to be honest with you. But he is very talented. And hey, let's also be honest. You and I know what the AEW contracts are, all right? A lot of people out there refuse to even spend 10 minutes trying to understand. It's not like he is signed to this multi-million dollar deal. It's not even six figures, all right? And he's still going to be doing what he's doing. He's still going to be training. He's still going to be, you know, performing at some shows. I guess, you know, that it's okay for some places for a 16-year-old to wrestle. I didn't even think he was 16. I thought he was 17 or 18. But good for him. Good for him. He's got enough talent that, you know, hey, you know, put him on the show. Maybe you catch fire like you did with Hook. Why not? Is he going to be heavyweight champion? Of course not. I mean, still 16 years old. I mean, my God. You know, anybody could, you know, be anything, but right now it's just a 16-year-old kid getting an opportunity. It's pretty cool. Guy works his ass off. His father is a good trainer. I can't say anything bad about the guy. I can't. So, yeah, this is a PG show, no blood, just to show you how bad it is. I won't show it again, but yeah, as I'm doing the show, I'm like, this looks like a bloody nose. Look at this. Not very good. I don't have Band-Aids in here, unfortunately. I have masking tape. I could just rip a piece of masking tape, go like the old Sabu route, just like put electrical tape on it and seal it closed. I have crazy glue, too. Look, I got Gorilla Glue. Maybe I can just Gorilla Glue it closed. I'm not kidding. I'm not going to sniff it, though. No, I'm not going to do it. I'll just put a Band-Aid on. We're almost done anyway. We're already in an hour, so we'll start. Now, if we stop the show, we stop the show. We'll stop the show soon. We'll stop it soon. Buddy Wayne is tight with Dave Meltzer and Brian Alvarez. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I understand he's tight, but, you know, they're journalists. So when you just write, oh, they signed Nikki. You know, it's, I don't know, man. You know, it's just like, okay, Nikki who? Like, we're supposed to all know that there's a 16-year-old son of Buddy Wayne that, you know, it's personal for them. And that's cool. But, you know, just putting, and it almost feels like you only put the first name and nothing else to try to almost like show everybody, yeah, this person has a personal connection to me, you know? I mean, I don't know. You know what? It's a cool story anyway. So I really can't, I can't knock it. Yeah, it could end up being Hook's opponent. And you know, because that would go to a draw. You know what's funny? I have nothing against the guy. I downloaded this photo a couple of weeks ago just to show you. I don't know if even know if I could pull it up right now, but if I can, I will. I downloaded this photo a couple of weeks ago, and I said, oh, I got to find, like, the perfect moment on the show to, like, talk about it as big news. And I literally tried a couple of times to segue into the discussion, and is this it? I don't think that's him. It doesn't look like him. Let me open this photo. Let me see if this is it. Come on, open. No, it's not. No, that was a photo of Andrade. No. But I tried so hard to find a topic to segue into this person so we could talk about it, and I was never able to. And the photo just got buried and buried and buried, and it was never to be seen again. I'm still looking, and I can't find it. But I didn't even know how to approach this because I kind of felt bad for the guy. But at the same time, no, you got to be straight up and honest about it. Yeah, I don't think I'm going to be able to find the photo. That's pretty funny because I literally had it out for at least 2-3 weeks. And it would pop up and I'd be like, all right, you know, I'll figure out a way to like segue to it. And never did. I'm still looking. I'm checking two more rows of photos, but it just doesn't look like it's going to pop up. And it's not Veer Mahan, by the way. It's definitely not Veer Mahan. It was a picture of Peter Avalon. I'm still looking. I can't find it. And I know it's going to happen. As soon as the show is over, the picture's going to pop up. I'm going to be like, son of a bitch. Yeah, it's not going to pop up. Peter Avalon is taking bookings. And I kind of like laughed at it because when he had the schedule up, it seemed like every week was open. But I saw that he wrote on social media yesterday, I think it was, that he truly believed that the librarian character was not that bad of a character. Anorexic Rick Rude. If you go on his social media profile right now, and maybe I can, I don't know if I could screenshot it. This is a lot, you know, to do on spur in a moment. But if I could pull up his social media, I got to show you something. Let me see if I could do it. This will literally take 2 seconds if I could pull it. Oh, yeah, I can. Okay, let's see. All right. So I have the page up. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to open up. I'm going to open up a program. Hang on. Let's see. You know what? I could probably just zoom in. Let me see if I could just zoom in. Let's do a, what would it, oh, web browser. Okay. Let's type in a web browser. And let's see if we could connect. You know, this gets a little iffy with, not effy, but iffy with doing this, like, without preparing first. Let's see. Okay, we got the page up. I don't know if I could zoom in on this. Here's the picture. Here's the picture. But let's see if we could. Oh, we can zoom in. First of all, this is the picture that I thought was hilarious. He's now accepting indie dates you know, and I'm looking at it, I'm like, yeah, okay. And then I look at his profile picture now. Tell me if Ron Jeremy went on like a massive, massive diet. Tell me that this isn't like Ron Jeremy after he lost like tons of weight. I looked at that and I'm like, who the fuck is going to hire this person? And the son of a bitch is verified on top of it. But yeah, I had this picture saved and I was looking into like his dates that are available and all the dates. Is the tweet there? I think he has the tweet on here. Hold on. Let me see if I could get out of this. I don't know if it's, you know what? I can't scroll down. That's what it is. Yeah. Cause I don't have it. I don't have it where I can scroll. Yeah. I should have been prepared earlier, but I honestly didn't think we would be bringing up Peter Avalon today, but, he thinks that the librarian character in AEW is not bad, you know? And it's funny cause let's be honest. I mean, come on. The guy needed a sandwich. I mean, a librarian with a ravishing Rick Rude robe and the physique and everything else, it looked ridiculous in my honest opinion. Now, like I said, you look at his profile pic and he looks like Ron Jeremy on a diet. So, Chris Silver, do I think Austin Theory should be the one to take the U.S. title off of Damian Priest at WrestleMania? It's not a bad idea. It's not a bad idea. I don't think so because it feels like they are going to turn Damian Priest heel. And I have a feeling that we may get AJ Styles versus Damian Priest. I know that he won the non-title match on Raw. Remember, it was a championship contenders match. That's the only way they could get AJ Styles. Remember what I said on Monday? That was the only way they could get AJ Styles to beat Damian Priest without it alluding to a rematch immediately or losing the title to AJ Styles. They did championship contender and AJ won. So I think we may get AJ Styles versus Damian Priest at WrestleMania. Anorexic Rick Rude. That's what I always called Peter Avalon. And I'm not against the guy. I heard he's really, really nice guy. But you're going to come out with a robe, you know, just because you go with the duck lips. That's about... Dress like a librarian. I don't know any librarian that has a ravishing Rick Rude meets Ric Flair glitter robe, you know, unless I'm hanging out with the librarian after hours. I walk into a library, you dress like a librarian. You wear the goofy sweater. You wear the checkerboard, tie. You wear the glasses and the hair, and you wear, you know, corduroy pants and goofy clown shoes, and that's it. He wears the anorexic Rick Rude robe to try to make him look luxurious, to look like he has money, to make him look powerful, to make him look this, to make him look like he actually does have a nice physique. It was ridiculous, and nobody had the heart, the balls to say to him, the fuck is this? Fuck is this? That's like a joke. It's like a joke. It's almost like the Spaceballs stunt double. You know, you have this superhero, Arnold Schwarzenegger. I do Terminator. You think when he had his stunt double, you think that they had him to help wanted? You know, help wanted. You know, stunt man. Must be 6'3", 295 pounds, and could bench press 800 pounds and have biceps the size of watermelons. No, they just put somebody on it. I'll be back. And he does his stuff. Peter Avalon looked like some scrawny stunt double. Like if Ravishing Rick Rude was still alive and he did a movie and they needed to somebody like die. Yeah, go. Oh my God. And then the best part is because, again, the virtual signaling, everybody has got to, you know, do what they do on social media. You get a couple hundred people. I thought the gimmick was awesome. I thought the gimmick was great. You were the best part of AEW Dark. Come on, let's be honest. Some of it is the lowest of the low, awful, awful, awful. I'll tell you the truth. I like his anorexic Ron Jeremy look. 1,000 times more. He almost looks, you know what? I'm not kidding. I'll pull it back up. You know what he looks like for real? You know if what I would do if I was him? I'm not kidding when I say this. Peter Avalon should come out like Kenny G, like an 80s singer that you just hated, that for some reason when you watch the music video would be on the beach with like the hottest chick in the world or the hottest guy, whichever floats your boat. And he comes out there with like an 80s like musical thing. Like just wears like the puffy hair and he's got the puffy jacket and make him look like, because all those singers from the 80s, they weren't built. You look at them. I mean, you had some that were like cut up. That's because they couldn't afford food. Yo, oh, I got six pack of abs. Well, that's because you ate potatoes for 5 years and tuna fish in your car. You know, he would come off better as an 80s gimmick. You know, one of those, you know, who is the guy that said, oh, I will never fall in love. Oh, who's that guy? Come on. The one who's that did the music video in black and white on the beach. Who's the guy's name? Seriously, you're telling me that he wouldn't be perfect for that guy? What was his name? You know that song? I actually thought that song was cool for about 10 minutes until I saw the music video, and I was like, I want to just stick a seashell up his ass. What was the name of that song? If he was Latino, he could be Geraldo. Remember? Rico, suave, rico. He would be like the Puerto Rican Vanilla Ice. If Peter Avalon was Latino, that's what I would do. I would be Geraldo. Remember from the 90s? Chris Isaac, yeah. Let him do a Chris Isaac gimmick from the 80s. I guarantee you people would want to see his ass kicked more than anybody. You seriously, you're telling me if he comes out there like an 80s gimmick like Chris Isaac or Kenny G, oh my God, if Peter Avalon could learn. I seriously, we should do a GoFundMe so he could get like clarinet lessons or something. Whatever that instrument that Kenny G, let him come out and start doing that on the mic. And, oh, man. Anyway, that's what I'm telling you. That's what I would do with Peter Avalon. Let him do some retro 80s wannabe rock star that everybody would just want to beat the living crap out of. Nothing personal. Oh, my God, the heel heat that he would get. The fact that he's even putting that hairstyle on there like that with the jacket and the shirt, it's beautiful. Oh, my God, yes, the puffy shirt. Yeah, the Jerry Seinfeld puffy shirt. Imagine him with that Jerry Seinfeld shirt and his hair like this. Look, too bad, like, AEW is not going to, like, waste time on him anymore. Too bad they couldn't do, like, the John Morrison, when John Morrison used to come out and he looked like Jim Morrison. And he'd do like the hair in slow motion. They say, can you imagine Peter Avalon doing that? Just like the hair in slow motion. And you have like fans blowing in the background. And it's just, they would want to crucify him. I guarantee you, GCW would book him versus Nick Gage. And fans would want to pay to see it. Telling you, Peter Avalon, nothing personal. You got to be like a Geraldo, a Chris Isaac, a Kenny G, be an 80s guy that people just wanted to psh, psh, psh. He'll make money. He'll make money. Seriously. You know, somebody brought up my thoughts on the body shaming with Adam Cole and Keith Lee. I don't pay attention to it, to be honest with you. I hope that Keith Lee is 100% recovered from what happened last year with his heart. Adam Cole, you know, I know it seems like he has gone smaller. And yes, I have heard comments, seen comments posted by people. I've seen some of the photos. And yes, some of them are funny. But honestly, I can't hate on shit like that. Because who was the wrestler? Who was the wrestler? Was it Chris Hero? Who was the wrestler that had a legitimate issue with his thyroid? I think it was Chris Hero. Remember Cassius Ohno? I think Cassius Ohno had a really bad issue with his thyroid. And he was putting on weight And a lot of it was a serious health issue. He wasn't sitting in his hotel room eating Dinky Donuts for 10 hours. He had a legit medical condition. And, you know, I felt really bad for that guy, because imagine how frustrating it must be that he is that talented and having this medical condition that is just totally making your body physique out of whack. And I'm not saying that there's any underlying condition with Adam Cole, but as long as he's happy and as long as AEW fans are happy, that's all that matters. I mean, look, we have had wrestlers. This is what people need to understand. We have had wrestlers, and we'll end this in 15 minutes, 14 minutes. We've had wrestlers who were higher profiled in TNA, in WCW, in AWA, going back, ECW, and they go to mainstream promotion like WWE or somewhere else, and their value may be much lower than what it was. And I'll give you a good one. Al Snow. Al Snow. I actually was on his shoot interview the day before he took on Shane Douglas, and Al Snow was mega over in ECW. Insanely over in ECW. To the point that everybody was into him versus Shane Douglas for the ECW heavyweight title. He lost the match, and I remember the wrestlers put Shane Douglas and Al Snow on their shoulders. At the end of the night, they shook hands, and then I believe the next night on Raw, the gates, the garage gates went up slowly, and here is Al Snow. And he got a nice pop from the fans. Once he really got settled in WWE, you realize, okay, you know, he's going to be pretty much 24/7, you know. And they did a few things, but nowhere near the level that he would have been treated on another promotion. Yeah, Dave Calloway, I wasn't kidding. Look, you know, I try to pay attention to, you know, the outside stories as well, because you can't always immediately assume like, oh, he's fat, or oh, he's small, or oh, he's this. There may be something else going on too. And then you find out. That's why, look, I appreciate JD from New York. I subscribe to him. He's a friend. His shows pop up on my alerts. And I saw today a thumbnail that he did a couple of days ago. And he said something like, Keith Lee's AEW debut exposed the internet wrestling community. And, you know, his reasons and what the topic we were just talking about, he makes a hell of a lot of sense. But I take it one step further. A year ago, Keith Lee returning to WWE exposed the internet wrestling community. Because you remember when you all were asking me and Mish, hey, you got any update on Keith Lee? You got an update on Keith Lee? You had a lot of these websites and shows saying that he was pulled from Elimination Chamber or something else because Vince has nothing for him. All they kept saying, they have nothing for him, nothing for him, nothing for him. And he was off TV. Creative has nothing for him. But meanwhile, while that was happening, he was fighting for his life. Legit. We find out that Keith Lee had this real serious heart condition and the COVID stuff. And a lot of people like, fuck, we got it wrong. So Mia Yim went on social media that night and said, can you guys now, maybe going forward, that you don't just, and that lasted for a day. And you see Keith Lee makes his AEW debut and people are right back to saying what they're saying, writing what they're writing. They learned nothing from Keith Lee's life, you know, threatening health issue last year. They just creative. So that exposed the internet wrestling community. And I always vowed, from Chris Hero to Keith Lee and to others, that I'm not going to immediately jump the gun. You know, because Kurt Angle, when he was in TNA, there are episodes back then where we laughed at his chicken arms. We thought it was hilarious. The fuck happened with Kurt Angle's arms? It looks like that they took it off a child's body. His arms shrunk dramatically until somebody let me know about, at that time, atrophy. And as soon as I heard the word atrophy, I thought about my own situation. I mean, if anybody goes back to that retro episode that I did on a Thursday a couple of months ago, might even be a year ago now. Remember that interview segment where I was in the bathroom and I stripped down to my boxer shorts and I was showing off my scars? If you look at my right my right calf, my right calf is about 3 inches smaller in diameter than my left calf. When I had the drop foot for a year and I had nerve damage and a lot of weakness when I had my car accident, my right calf never grew back to the same exact size as my left calf. So I know what atrophy is firsthand. Don't always immediately assume that because somebody's physique has changed, that it's either laziness, pigging out, not working out, not doing this, doing that. You know, there might be something else going on. That's why I'm not going to jump the gun about Keith Lee or Adam Cole or anybody else. You know, with Peter Avalon, we did the research. He's got no thyroid issue. There's no issue with Peter Avalon. And honestly, his size of his physique is fine. It's just, I wouldn't be caught alive wearing that fucking robe with that kind of physique. I wouldn't wear that robe now because of this, you know? All right. So give me a score update before we jet out of here, because we're going to close this out in about 7 minutes. Yes, Jason is still scheduled to come on. The tentative date is Thursday, February 24th, a week from this Thursday. We may start at 8 o'clock instead of 10 o'clock. You know, I'm going to put a poll in the community section. First of all, what I'm going to do, out of respect to Jason, is I'm going to ask Jason, what time is good for you? He works. So if Jason says, look, I'd rather come on earlier, then I'm going to put in the community section, you all vote, maybe like 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, or 9 o'clock. And then we'll do that. So it'll be open for everyone. I know Thursday is usually just channel members, but what we're going to do is we'll have questions open live that night. And, you know, we'll probably have, you know, like some channel members still get like first dibs and stuff like that. But, you know, when it gets a little closer, I have to get some artwork done. By the way, I think the bleeding is all but stopped. This is the final culprit. Yeah, not fun, right? Not fun. The Bengals, yeah, walk like an Egyptian. The Bengals are still up 20-16. So, Mystic, shout out to you, Mystic, tuning in. Got to enjoy about 15 minutes of the live show. Yeah, the bleeding's about stopped, so. Still got to clean it up and put a strip on it. So I don't want to stain my sheets. I might go back and watch some of the Super Bowl tonight. You know, if I'll look at the feedback. Norman Smiley in the chat. Ah, too bad that's not the Norman Smiley. I got to put that podcast episode up. When myself and the Mass Maniac interviewed Norman Smiley, as I prefer to call him. That Buff Bagwell story is still a story that I still cannot believe never went viral. It's a story that's never been discussed on an interview, and it was discussed with Norman Smiley. I think it was Too Cold Scorpio. I think Too Cold Scorpio made the claim about Norman Smiley and somebody related to Buff Bagwell. Not his mom. Chris is asking me, will I reciprocate and be on Jason's show? Well, I'll answer it this way. This year, I'm definitely going to have guests on. I mean, yes, you know, I've had 25 years of not doing that, and it's been a running thing. But it would be fun to mix it up a little bit with some people. That doesn't mean that as a requirement, I'm on other people's channel. So if I'm not invited on someone else's channel, you know, that's their choice. Would I go on someone else's channel? Absolutely. You know, I say it now. You know, people ask me once in a while, you know, hey, would you come on? I'm like, sure. You know, I mean, yeah, as long as it doesn't interfere with, you know, my schedule, because I have a full-time office gig. But that's up to the other hosts that do that. So Merrick put $1,000 up that Bianca wins the Elimination Chamber. And if he wins, he gets about $1,700 back. I think Bianca's getting it. I think Bianca's getting it. Tomorrow, we should know who the surprise is, the sixth member of the chamber. It has to be announced tomorrow. Monday night, after Raw, I will be doing predictions here because SmackDown is already taped. So we already know after Raw tomorrow, those matches are final. They may add another match. You know, that's always a possibility. But by the end of Raw, we should have that sixth person. I mean, if they keep it a surprise going all the way into Elimination Chamber, that would be really interesting. But I still feel Bianca Belair has to be the one. Everything that we've talked about with Becky, and now she's hyped up and planted those seeds about her reign, Bianca should be the only person that should take it off of her. The only person. If Naomi had more interaction with Becky and recent, I would settle, and I don't even call it settling. I'd be happy with Naomi. What the performance she put on Friday was awesome. Put WWE in a good situation. They keep her holding her down now. Fans are going to flip. Yeah, look, Mike, I said yesterday could be Queen Zelina. We don't know. So, Charlie, with all due respect, all I have seen in your last 7 posts is don't notice it when I'm saying. Yeah, I notice you saying that I don't notice. You know, about politics and war and stuff like that, honestly, I have no comments about it. Nothing has changed, you know, if that's what you're going to ask. About the COVID stuff, you know, we're down to 2% infection rate. Better than what it was since October, before Omicron ever came around. And everything that's happened, we've talked about, and we've been right. Because we are very aware. So, I think we're going to wrap this up. Yeah, so we're at 90 minutes. I'm going to jet out of here. So tomorrow night after Raw, join me. And Mish and I. Yeah, Russian girl dope scandal. I have no idea what that is. Employees at an insurance office. Yeah, I have one or two. Yeah. But no, I don't know anything about any Russian girl dope scandal. I do know girls who are dopes. They may not be Russian, but I'll check it out. I always try to be aware of everything that's going on in the world. You know, some of it, you know, it's very rough to express an opinion on. But, yeah, we're probably going to talk about Jackson Ryker tomorrow as well. I want to break down and dissect what he said because you know, I don't like the guy. I don't like Jackson Riker. Some of his views I disagree with. But I also feel that the way some employees treated him, and this is not about black or anything like that, but the way some employees treated him, when he says that in his 20s he would have punched somebody in the mouth, I brought the point up yesterday. You could have your favorites that you watch on TV, and they'll occasionally go on social media and say that Twitter is a place where people get to say a lot of things where if you met them in person, they get punched in the mouth. And that'll get 10,000 likes. Jackson Riker says it, and it's, wow, this guy is disgusting. He's threatening assault. He's this, he's that, he's this. Now, this is a guy that, you know, had a view that we all disagree with. I know the term Black Lives Matter, when he calls it a radical, whatever he called it, I understand the group that he is referencing. He's not referencing the whole cause, and I'm not defending the guy. I'm not defending the guy. I do believe Black Lives Matter, and that is a legit cause. It does get hijacked by, you know, some people as well. And I, in my opinion, that's what he was talking about. But again, because of who he is, you know, the guy gets ripped beyond belief. And honestly, if I was him, I wouldn't even be doing these interviews because he's pissing in the wind. There's nothing that he is going to say that is going to get everybody to, you know, forgive him if he even should get that or, you know, be cool with him. Unless he turns around and says, fuck Trump, I love AEW, WWE sucks, and this and that. And that's probably his best shot of getting over with the everyday fan. And that's just the truth. It's just the truth. So, all right, everybody. Hope you enjoyed this live chat. Next week, we bring back calls. Remember, we rotate every other week. Joe McGee with the 20 spot on the way out. Thank you very much for that. It was very, very kind of you. And the coolest part about it is no question involved. No question involved. That's pretty awesome. So I thank you for that. I know it should pop up on the screen. Yeah, it'll pop up on the screen. Like I said, I'm working on, you know, having like little sound bites and alerts. I know a lot of you have been telling me, oh, you should try this, you should try this, you should try this. I'm doing everything. I'm learning on the fly, and I'm doing everything. There we go. Much love. I don't know why it didn't show having a sound bite with it, but yeah, it's still got some kinks, but much love, Joe. Thank you very much for that. Very kind of you. Doug Denslow just got here. Yeah, hit the rewind button because we're about to jet out of here. So these are closing good nights to everybody. All right. I think we're done. Yeah, the chat's getting a little crazy, but in a good way. No hate, no malice. You know, just to remind everyone out there, if you are looking to, like, get in touch with me or mingle and stuff like that, you know, don't expect me really on Twitter anymore. Like, I'll plug a show once in a while, you know, just to let everybody know. I mean, you know, it is what it is. I don't get retweets from people. I don't get support from people. I get a lot of nasty shit said behind my back. It's all good. But best way to reach me, DM me or email me, dontony@dontony.com. And when I will be reaching out to all of you, I will post in the community section here. So this is not a ploy to get people to sign up or anything, but if you have notifications active, then that's when you'll be alerted when I post stuff over here. But you're going to see me posting in the community section a lot more than you'll see me on Twitter going forward. Facebook is already fried, so I'm done there. But I hope everybody enjoyed tonight's show. If you're getting this late, you know, I hope you enjoyed the Super Bowl. And I will be, you know, lurking to see what the final score is. And congrats to whoever wins it. I know there's a lot of you out there that are on both sides, Rams, Bengals. And look, the Bengals win. I think it's their first Super Bowl win in history. Is that right? That kind of, I think that's what The Rock said earlier. The Rams, a little bit different. The Rams, I think they have some history in the Super Bowl. But, Merrick, I answered your question about Bianca a few minutes ago. Bianca Belair, I am going with her as my pick as well. So, much love, John Vickers, and everyone else. Have a good night. I actually feel a lot better. Wednesday, I got hit with the flu pretty good. Thursday, it got worse. Friday, felt a little better. Yesterday, I think I was pretty much almost back to normal. Today, I'm about there. But, all right, everybody. I'll see you tomorrow night at 11:05, right after Raw. We'll cover Raw. We'll get into Riker. We'll get into predictions for Elimination Chamber and anything else that may break between tonight and tomorrow night. So, and yes, this will be the Bengals' first Super Bowl if they win. If they win. We've seen a lot of wild things over the years. So I just think back to that Super Bowl win with the Giants, and I think it was against the Patriots. I actually went on a date with some girl at that time, and I remember the whole night DMing her, and we were like, holy shit, they won. And I will not tell you how the date ended up. It was epic fail. Almost as bad as this earlier. A plate full of fat fingers. So, much love, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.